Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, where we're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. With cover breaking news, culture, and medical warfare, we will be your guide through the separation of make no mistake and make no mistake. That is exactly what we're living through nowadays. Anyways, interesting news. Warren Buffett, the man that basically compared. No, I think that was his partner. Anyways, Warren Buffett's not a big fan of Bitcoin, and it's interesting because he went on CNBC, said his bit. He still thinks that, you know, Bitcoin is no better than gambling. And then we had, you know, our own Dylan LeClaire on our side fighting the good fight in the trenches with us. He went on CNBC and he said his bit, and I'll let you guys be the judge as to which one sounds like a better argument. I don't think the Cantillionaires have anything to stand on. I don't think they have a leg to stand on. I think like their best hope is to gaslight and just, you know, label us and just say these things and call us psychopaths rather than actually debate our ideas. And that leads me to the other thing that we're going to cover on today's news segment is we won a big battle yesterday. The New York Times released their article basically bashing Bitcoin mining. You know, they changed the color of the haze of, you know, that Rockdale to make it seem like, you know, Bitcoin miners were polluting. Riot, smashed back or jabbed back with releasing their own, you know, video, basically Pierre Richard going around with a CO2 meter, basically saying, hey, this doesn't emit any emissions whatsoever. The New York Times then went and tried to use the the Twitter community post feature to say that, no, that's misinformation. Well, you know what? We riled up enough of the Bitcoin Twitter army to downvote the F out of that, and we succeeded. We won that fight. And then later on in the day, Elon Musk hosted a Twitter Spaces with BBC. And in that Twitter Spaces, the BBC was trying to get some jabs into Elon, basically saying, hey, you know, since you took over, there's a lot of hate speech increased in the platform. But what ended up happening was that Elon basically put him in a chokehold and exposed the fraud of what the BBC was trying to perpetuate. And then this kind of goes back to something, this idea that we've been talking about really for the last couple of months, is we are witnessing the disintermediation of information at the same time, the disintermediation of money at the same time. And without their monopoly on the distribution mechanisms, these legacy media organizations are on equal footing as the rest of us. So they can't lie the way they've been used to lying. The New York Times has a Twitter account just like everybody else. So they're seen just as they have the same reach, the same distribution as everyone else. The only thing they're riding on is their coattails of a 100-year legacy. But that's it. And they're burning through that very, very quickly. And it's getting to the point where the mainstream consciousness is waking up to the fact that these legacy media organizations are not journalists, they're propagandists, and people are waking up to that reality. We are winning this good fight, and it's all because of you. You all got involved. You all went in there and labeled that community post unhelpful, and enough of us did it for it to get removed. We are winning this fight. We will win this fight. We have the truth on our side. We have the best money the world has ever seen, and all they have left is lies and misrepresentations. Anyways, everybody, before we start the show, I want to introduce my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Optimus Fields?
You didn't send me a
selfie this morning, bro, and kind of broke my heart a little bit.
You know, hey, I didn't get on my selfie stick this morning, so I'm a little late on it. But man, what a crazy 24 hours since we've been covering this yesterday, this New York Times debacle. Actually, it's been 48 hours, I guess. And man, I just heard that Spaces this morning as well. And hey, say what you want about Elon, but he might be actually on the mission. Of course, his incentives are probably a little different than ours, but it does seem like he is unleashed and a wild card at this point. But anyways, what I want to cover today on The Culture is kind of the backlash or the fallout that we've seen in response to this riot video. I have a few tweets over here from the Carbon Hysterics responding to Pierre Rochard, not realizing the satirical nature of the video. But I got a bunch of receipts. Hopefully it doesn't take me too long to get through the people having their minds blown, as well as the Bitcoiners' response to this whole thing. And again, we're just continuously exposing the hypocrisy from the corporate press and the normie ilk that follows them still. Anyway, let's bring in Dell, bro. Let's bring in Dell.
And of course, a new member of Simply Bitcoin, dropping Simply Bitcoin clips. They've been on fire. Guys, check them out recently. He did one with John Wick. Did some animations in the beginning. Dude, they're super, super sick, guys. Don't miss them. We've been dropping them the last 2 weeks. You definitely don't want to miss them. And we're very privileged to have Dell with us, join us on the team and fight the peaceful Bitcoin revolution alongside of us. Dell, welcome, man. Happy to have you on the show today.
Yeah, the HODL Sapiens, glad to be here. I don't know why I'm talking in third person, but man, if there's one thing that gets me pissed off, and I got a new clip coming talking about that John Wick one, where I'd get a little bit spicy, a little bit hot and heavy, not in the fun way, going after the New York Times and their history dating back dozens, if not, I don't know, 50, 100 years nearly, of just putting out stuff that is nonsense, lies upon lies, anything that will sell a paper, which, you know, if you want to talk about carbon footprint, how many trucks does it take to deliver all these around? How many breathing people does it take? There's more carbon coming out of my mouth than out of the Bitcoin miners' fans. Like, give me a break. They can't even get their Pierre Rochard went on the Stefan Levera, which I highly recommend that podcast, where Pierre, over the course of about 45 minutes, an hour, just ripped the article to shreds from top to bottom, starting with, they couldn't even get the caption on the picture right. I mean, give me a break. It's like saying, oh, look at Tokyo. Look at the smog in the Tokyo here. And it's a picture of downtown New York City. It's like, get just basic facts right, people. Come on. If you're trusting people with news, or if you expect people to trust you with the news, then at least get the basic fundamentals right. Some of the people were tweeting how they exaggerated the claims on the carbon things. First off, it was wrong on the carbon coming out of the mining facilities themselves. But if you want to talk about the energy production, fine, you've got something there. You could actually talk about that. That wouldn't be a lie. But they exaggerated those claims by orders of magnitude, an average of 81% across the board. It's like, if you were to round up 0.5% to just say, you know, it's around 10%, and if it was 9-something%, sure, okay, fine. At least I could understand that. But when you're just throwing numbers out, it's just like me coming to my wife and just saying, hey, honey, I was downtown and 12 people tried to attack me and mug me. And I said, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. Are you okay? Oh yeah. You know, it was the most horrific day of my life. It just, I can't believe it. And then she gets some footage, or she talks to a friend that I was with, and it turns out that I just jaywalked and some guy said, hey, you shouldn't do that.
You hit the nail on the head. It's an emotional ploy, right? And it's emotional ploy in an attempt to accumulate enough political willpower from the uninformed in order to try to pass some type of hostile Bitcoin regulation. That's what they want. That's what the Change the Code is all about, that Change the Code movement as well. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the numbers. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, guys, I also want to give a shout out to Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth. Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. And you could use the promo code SIMPLY to get yourself 10% discount to Bitcoin 2023. Let's go through some of the speaker list, shall we? Because it's absolutely bonkers. Michael Lewis, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Jack Maulers, Casey, creator of Ordinals, Alex Gladstein, Preston Pish, Stacey Herbert, Greg Foss, Lynn Alden, Matt Odell, Breedlove, Jeff Booth, Mark Moss, Samson Mao, NVK, Caitlin Long, Dylan LeClaire, Natalie Bonnell, Pierre Richard, Dr. Jeff Ross, Nico and Opti are on there as well. We're going to be holding it down the analyst desk. We got P, we got Joe Consorti, so many more. You definitely don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin celebration on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2023. Promo code SIMPLY. If you're looking for a job in the space, I highly recommend making it to Bitcoin 2023. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $30,005. Oh, $10. Sats per dollar. 3,032, block height 785,103, reachable Bitcoin nodes 17,096, blocks to halving 54,897, halving estimate April 20th, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity 5,410 Bitcoin, capacity value $162 million, realized monetary inflation 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin $581 billion with a B. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. Anyways,
Nico, before we go on, can I give some horn for 30K? Let's go!
Satoshi, the Bitcoin chicken, he's been in hibernation, but he'll be back. He'll be back sooner than a lot of people think. Anyways, we got a rumble between these two gentlemen. We have our own Dylan LeClaire in the left corner, and we have Warren Buffett in the right corner. And they had some things to say about Bitcoin on CNBC. I'll play the clip. I'll let you guys be the judge on who makes a better argument. Let's check it out.
Once unleashed, you can't put it back in the bottle. And something like Bitcoin, it is something. It's a gambling token.
Why is Bitcoin? Listen, it was at 60,000 a year and a half ago, so we are down by half still. But why the recent run?
Hey, Brian. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, the recent run. I mean, let's go through it. The story is completely unchanged here for Bitcoin, right? Every 4 years, Bitcoin, the fraud, the leverage, it gets completely wiped out. 2022 was an awful year. Why is Bitcoin rallying? Well, there's no more sellers, right? It's quite simple. The supply held for 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years is at all-time high, 67%, 53%, and 40%, right? It's a completely inelastic supply relative to demand. And there's a growing group of price-agnostic accumulators that buy every single day. It's that simple. It's a matter of flows. Certainly, our equity markets and bond markets and volatility, do they play into this? Of course they do. And Bitcoin's increasingly a macro asset. But what SVB showed, what the depegging of USDC showed, what the Fed's BTFP program
showed. Yeah, what is that? That seems like a BFD in some ways. So I don't know if I can say that. How big of a deal is this? It seems like the government wants to create its own Bitcoin.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because they can't create another Bitcoin.
You know what? But you get the general direction, right? A lot of our audience is not Bitcoin experts. Neither is this anchor, by the way.
No, that's okay. I think ultimately the story here is that Bitcoin's rallying, I mean, along with other cryptos, right? But if you're looking, the other cryptos are bleeding relative to Bitcoin. And that wasn't the story during the bull run for much of 2022. These are bleeding out relative to Bitcoin as Bitcoin is pumping here. Something is happening. And what's happening is people realize they want to hold something that they don't have to trust anybody. They don't want to trust a stablecoin. They don't want to trust a crypto protocol or a developer. They want to hold a decentralized monetary asset with no counterparty risk. That's the story. That's been the story since 2010. And more people are just coming to realize it.
I think I got to correct you, Dylan. It's been the story since 2010 BC. You almost just described gold.
I almost did, except gold, unfortunately, you can't send over a smartphone in 30 seconds in the world for about a half a penny, right? So that's why in a digital age, Bitcoin wins. And not to have a gold versus Bitcoin debate, because we could be here for hours.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to generate all kinds of people coming out of Twitter. Closets. People under the bent mattress, they're popping their heads out.
The reason that gold, right? The reason that, 7 billion people use fiat currency today is because gold inherently has trust in that loop, right? You have to trust a bank, you have to trust a central bank, you have to trust intermediary. A gold-backed token, right, it's an oxymoron. There's nothing backing it except trust. Right. So with Bitcoin, you don't have to trust anybody. You verify, right? That's the breakthrough here. that's the breakthrough of what Bitcoin is. And people are just, you know, slow to understand this. It's fine. It's an education thing, but that's what's unfolding. So Bitcoin, where is it going to go next week, tomorrow? I don't know. Next month?
Yeah.
No one knows. But the story here, it's a decade long story. It's going to be true for the next two.
I think, we got to go, but I think Bitcoin's had like 10 or more 80% declines in it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, in the rumble in the left corner, I would say Dylan wins that. The reason is, look, you know, Warren Buffett said it. Just look, it's, you know, he believes it's a gambling token. But it's interesting. I think he had a Freudian slip. I don't know if you guys caught it, right? He said, once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't put it back in, right? And then what Dylan followed up with was describing what exactly that genie coming out of the bottle is, right? No custody risk, right? You know, 21 million, that's it. Can't change, you know, can't devalue someone else's, right? So, I mean, maybe Warren Buffett, from the contillionaire standpoint, from someone who's benefited tremendously from the fiat system, as someone who's a fan of the CCP, therefore he's definitely a fan of central bank digital currencies. He's called something Bitcoin. He's literally said that Bitcoin is disgusting, right? And then Dylan lays it out. Dylan lays it out methodically, like a Colombian assassin, bro, with a straight face, and not even smiling, like, wow. Straight there, man. So, I mean, shout out to Dylan. He absolutely killed it. I know how hard those media interviews are once you're doing it live. The lights, camera, action come off and you see the people in the suits. It is extremely nerve-wracking. So shout out to Dylan for keeping his composure, you know, very straight, making those points. And again, what we are witnessing, and we've been covering this over the last couple of months, is we're witnessing the breakthrough into the mainstream consciousness. We're breaking out of the Bitcoin echo chamber. And I can't emphasize how important that is, right? We have to break out of it. You know, what you can do on an individual level is share Bitcoin content, get the message out. Uncle Jim, your family, if they're not technically inclined to learn how to take self-custody, be that person, be that annoying friend, be that person that no one wants to invite to parties anymore because all they do is talk about Bitcoin, right? That's how we're going to push it forward. Really big shout out to Dylan LeClaire. I know Natalie Burnell has been doing it as well. I've been doing some legacy corporate media interviews as well. I know Corey Clipson has been doing some. We have to get that. We have to break the Bitcoin echo chamber. We have to break through. But I think the good news, though, is that you see very predominant popular podcasters bringing up the idea that the Fed is the problem. We had Ron Paul on Timcast. Tim Cass also had Max Kaiser the other day, literally verbatim said, wow, I should have bought Bitcoin. What's going on in El Salvador? Literally, Ron Paul said it. Like, the political problems are not being caused by the left and the right. The political problems are being caused by the Fed. We must end the Federal Reserve. But we cannot, I don't think it's viable to do it the regular political sense. I don't think we could do it that way. The way to do it is just to opt out entirely and take back your financial sovereignty through Bitcoin. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this? And then we'll move on to Dell.
Well, one thing's for sure, Bitcoin is being constantly covered on the corporate press. And I think this is just further proof of the growing awareness, or rather the constant coverage of Bitcoin in that corporate press, and the fact that it is our meme world and everyone else is just living in it. And here we are. I think it's only going to accelerate. I think the Bitcoin signal is only going to get magnified in every conversation possible. You know, we are seeing that it's even also becoming at least seemingly going to become a presidential topic that people are going to have to touch coming up in the next couple of years. So it's very interesting. But I mean, hey, Buffett and co have gone from rat poison squared to its gambling token. So I think directionally we are moving in the right direction. But hey, you know, I can't expect Warren Buffett to just fall into some basic Austrian economics and understand that all life is speculation, good sir. So really appreciate it. And furthermore, don't you trade in gambling tokens for cash. So like, hey, I don't know if your analogy is working out completely, but shouts out to Dylan. He absolutely killed it. Actually, Dylan kind of big brained a lot of the stuff in that clip for the news audience, but there was a lot of good stuff that he talked about, whether it was the halving cycle or the basic simple economics of supply and demand, 21 million hard cap. You know, no one's selling their Bitcoin right now because as that one research paper, I forget when it was, the last year dropped, there is no more tourists in Bitcoin. Everyone that holds Bitcoin right now knows why they are holding it, is in it for the long run. And, you know, let's see, he even brought the numbers. We are at a HODLer all-time high. No one is moving their coins because we know why we hold Bitcoin. But anyways, Dell hit us in the private chat, and this was something I was going to talk about as well. Dylan, big brain, the DCA army and how strong we are out there. He called it the price agnostic accumulators. Shouts out to you, Dylan. Love the memetics. But I think in that clip as well, excuse me, there's a very real signal of there's Bitcoin and there's shitcoin. I don't know if you guys saw the full clip, but he destroys the full narrative of, you know, shitcoinery. If there's a board, if there's a foundation, if there's a group of developers that can be called on to change the protocol, it's not decentralized. And I think people are waking up to this. I've been saying it for a minute that it's becoming very obvious, at least to me, that there's a Grand Canyon divide between Bitcoin and shitcoins. And I think people are quickly realizing that if I want to go in the shitcoin casino, I am actually gambling. So maybe there is a point to Warren Buffett calling crypto gambling tokens, because we call it the same thing. There's Bitcoin and there's shitcoin. But again, I think it's very interesting to see people like the anchor trying to wrap their heads around why Bitcoin is pumping, why Bitcoin works, and why Bitcoin has value. Well, you know, the free market chooses, individuals have chosen what Bitcoin means to them. And, you know, nothing you guys can say, no blog, no corporate press is going to stop people from saving in a money that doesn't steal from them. I think people are choosing voluntarily to move on to a better standard, a.k.a. the Bitcoin standard.
Amen. Anyways, what's your take on this, Dell?
Two of the most dangerous types of people in the world are those that have nothing to lose and people that have something to fight for. Revolutions happen because you either get a combination of those things or one of them. And Bitcoiners, by and large, are those people doubled up. You've got people that have nothing to lose. Like the position that I was in, and I know a lot of people like myself were in, were looking at this system, this legacy financial system, and going, okay, this boat is sinking. It is actively sinking. I see the water coming on. I see my money going down and down and down, and my purchasing power reducing every year over year. This isn't working. And then over here, I've got this boat. And on that boat, you've got Michael Saylor, you've got Saif al-Din, you've got Greg Foss, you've got all these people saying this boat is really safe. And I don't see water coming on. The one thing that this boat that I'm on right now has going for it is that it's been here the longest. This is the only boat I've ever known. So that you've got survivorship bias. Okay, that is a reason to pay attention. And I understand why people stay on that boat. But then once you look over and you see that other boat, you go, you know what? I'm going to take a jump. I'm going to hope for the best because I know for a fact that this boat is sinking. It is actively sinking. I see it happening. I don't see that other one sinking. I don't know anything. I don't know that much about it because it's only been in the water for 10 years. This one's been in the water for the last 1,000 years, but it's currently sinking. Maybe I'll take a risk. Maybe I'll jump over on that boat and hope for the best because this one is going down. The house is burning down. Let me take that jump. Let me take that risk. And then once you're over there, you do more research. You do more research because you can jump back over to the legacy financial system anytime you want. You can do that. You can sell out of Bitcoin if you want to. There's no one stopping you from doing that. But once you're in that secondary boat and you start having those conversations, and you start listening to the Saylors and the Saif al-Dins and the Greg Foss, and you go, maybe this is the right boat to be in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy because once you go, it only happens in one direction. Once you go on the Bitcoin boat, I've rarely met someone that has gone like, oh, let me go back to fiat. Fiat sounds great, right? So it's a one-way street. I think they know it's a one-way street, which is why you have Freudian slips. You have Christine Lagarde saying escape valve. You just heard Warren Buffett. He said it, right? He's like, look, it's a genie out of the bottle, right? You're hearing them say the quiet part out loud. You're hearing them say that. And then that's also why I believe they're so hostile towards the off-ramps, right? There's, you know, Operation Choke Point 2.0, whether you believe it or not. There's been a lot of evidence that have pointed that the Biden administration has tried to isolate the traditional banking system away from the Bitcoin industry in the hopes of slowing down people's exits, getting on that orange lifeboat. Anyways, everybody, this peaceful revolution could only happen if you take self-custody of your Bitcoin. But if you take self-custody of your Bitcoin, you got to do it properly and you got to store your seed phrase on something secure. Don't write down your seed phrase on paper. Write it down on steel, and there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates Domino. Easy to use, hard to destroy. BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve backup wallet, Bitcoin wallet backup seed phrases and pad phrases made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off anything bitplates.com. Anyways, everybody, let's get to news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. I want to talk about what we are witnessing. What happened yesterday was such a historic moment in the disintermediation of information and disintermediation of money. And this is a theory that was predicted back in the 90s with the book of The Sovereign Individual. They predicted that because of information technologies, the ability of the nation state to control individuals, it's going to be greatly diminished because people are going to be able to seek their own information sources. Before, right, you can only get your information with a handful of newspapers, a handful of TV stations, right? And then there's only so many people that you can communicate with in person, right? Especially if you have a job, right? So it was. Think about how easy that is to control a populace, right? And there's a handful of media organizations, and there's a handful of media organizations. There's a handful of TV stations, and then over time, right? It's interesting how, you know, the news that was purported by the government was also news that was purported by the so-called, you know, journalistic institutions, one of them being the New York Times and another one also being the BBC. And I love what Elon Musk did recently, where he properly labeled media organizations like NPR, National Public Radio, and the BBC as government state-sponsored media, right? We all knew they would say they're independent, but I don't think so. Anyway, so this is something that I said yesterday. I said we are witnessing the complete collapse of the corporate media's legitimacy. Without their previous monopoly on mass distribution, they have to compete with the general public on equal footing, right? And I'm going to play you a clip from an interview. It had 3 million people watching this interview live from Twitter Spaces, and it's between a BBC journalist and Elon Musk. And let's check it out and take a look at the response from the BBC journalist.
Up in Saks that used to be in content moderation. We've spoken to people very recently who were involved in moderation. And they just say there's not enough people to police this stuff, particularly around hate speech in the company. Is that something you want to address?
I mean, you use Twitter.
Right.
Do you see a rise in hate speech?
I mean,
but just a personal anecdote, like what do you? I don't.
Personally, my For You, I would see I get more of that kind of content, yeah, personally. But I'm not going to talk to the rest of for the rest of Twitter.
You see more hate speech personally.
I would say more hateful content in that
content you don't like or hateful. What do you mean to describe a hateful thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to say what you mean by hateful content. And I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly don't
a single example.
I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that for you feed anymore, because I just don't particularly like it. And actually, a lot of people are quite similar. I only look at my following.
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example, not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And
how did you see the hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken it over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen that you for you hateful content. I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And you can't give a single one.
And I'm saying I say so
that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give me a single example of hateful content, not even one tweet, and yet you claimed that the hateful content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I claimed.
You just lied.
What I claimed was. There are many organizations that say that.
You hear what he said? There are many organizations that say that. And this goes back to, without their previous monopoly on mass distribution, they can no longer control the narrative that they have been able to do. And what you just witnessed is cognitive dissonance. They don't know how to react to this. They're like, what do you mean? No, there's hateful content. That's the narrative. It's like, wait, point it out to me. Show it to me. And this was a live audience. Twitter Spaces, millions of individuals completely circumventing the gatekeepers of information and going directly to the source. And they can't stand, their narrative can't stand up on its own. And we were attacked yesterday as well as Bitcoiners, right? And this is something that we covered yesterday as well, right? But what they tried to fight back, right? So what they did was that they took the Riot Platforms video, which debunked the claim of the New York Times, which we covered on yesterday's episode, basically saying that, you know, Bitcoin is terrible for the environment. It uses all this energy. It makes energy prices, you know, higher. And what they tried to do is they tried to use community notes, right, in order to debunk, say, and then they said Bitcoin mining consumes electricity. While some Bitcoin mining may be powered by clean energy sources, most is not. Further, the use of clean energy to power Bitcoin mining means that more total energy is required, increasing overall emissions from energy production. Now, say that sentence again, but replace it with electric vehicles. They never talk about electric vehicles. So electric vehicles consume electricity. While some electric vehicles may be powered by clean sources, most are not. Further, the use of clean energy to power electric vehicles means that more total energy is required, increasing overall emissions from energy production. So the problem isn't that it's using a certain type of energy. It's that they want to dictate what how you can and how you cannot use energy. And these are the same people that want you to use central bank digital currencies. In fact, they want you to trust them with central bank digital currencies, but this is how they think. And if you don't believe me that these people don't want you to use central bank digital currencies, here's an article from the New York Times, "The Weird New War on Woke Money." And it goes on to say, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in his November victory speak is where woke goes to die. Indeed, DeSantis, who currently seems to be the only halfway viable rival to Donald Trump for the 2024 presidential nomination, has sought to crack down on wokeness in all its forms. Right. We're not going to get into the culture war because, again, we're apolitical on the show. We don't lean left and right. But in this article, it goes on to say, now on March 20th, DeSantis speaking from a podium bearing a sign reading "Big Brother's Digital Daughter Digital Dollar" announced that he plans to introduce legislation that would ban Floridians from making use of a digital currency issued by the Federal Reserve Government. issued by the federal government. Such a digital currency, he asserted, would be used to, quote, impose an ESG agenda and would, for example, prevent people from spending too much gas or from buying rifles. If this sounds crazy, that's because it is. At the same time, these are the same people that are telling you Bitcoin mining, you know, uses too much energy. That doesn't sound too crazy to me. You guys are literally telling us. It's like, this energy isn't good. And are you trying to tell me that if you have the control of a CBDC currency, you're not going to use that to impose your will on other people? And then, of course, typical, they gaslight you, telling you, no, you're crazy. You're seeing things that are not there. Anyways, an update on the battleground of the internet. We won this fight. I tweeted this out yesterday when the New York Times tried to use the Twitter community post feature to label this as basically misinformation. And I said, yo, downvote the F out of this community note. Fight lies with truth, Bitcoin or slavery. We won that battle. The community note was removed. We won it. And I'll show you, not only did we win, we ratioed the living fuck out of these liars. Check out the original tweet, 7,855 likes, and the Riot Platform's video, 8,079 likes. And we got the community notes post removed. The whole point of this news segment is to show you, the individual, the power that you have now. These institutions do not have the monopoly on the distribution of information anymore, which means that you, every like that you make, every tweet that you do, every meme that you make, they serve a purpose. We came together yesterday. We came together with a common goal of taking down that BS community post that the New York Times sorted. Could you imagine that? They sourced themselves in the community post to say as to why they weren't wrong. We came together as a community. We fought back and we won. And now it's for everybody to see that their tweet got 7,855 likes, and our tweet got 8,080 likes. So anyone who's on the fence is going to look and they're going to scroll down and they're going to see this beautiful video calling out the BS of the New York Times. And again, you know, it's a very big coincidence that Elon Musk embarrassed the BBC, another legacy corporate state-run media organization, in front of 3 million people for the world to see. This is the power of the internet. Use the internet to empower yourself as an individual. Use Bitcoin to empower yourself financially. Take back your financial sovereignty. We will win this. And they know it. And they're fucking terrified. They don't know how to react. You saw the cognitive dissonance coming out of that BBC reporter. He didn't know what to do. It's like, no, there's other sources. What other sources, bro? Wait, show me what you're talking about. Tell us, man. And then the common response. Conspiracy theorist. You know, like, bro, nah, man. These people, they're losing. They're on their back foot. Keep up the pressure. We won yesterday. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on all this, brother?
My first thought is Paul Krugman, classic. Anyways, to the narrative arc that Nico just elaborated on, it's something we talk about here all the time. You know, truth cannot be silenced. And the more that they push to silence the truth, the more the truth will get Barbra Streisand and more people will wake up to what is actually happening. And again, I was having this conversation with Dell before the show. It literally says it in the white paper, you know, the modern world is built on trust and people are still falling for the authority fallacy that someone with a suit, you know, someone coming from a legitimate quote unquote media source still has some weight in whatever they're saying. But as we continuously show on this channel, as we saw on Twitter yesterday or Monday rather, It's all a bunch of corporate lies. It's all cover for the fiat cartels. And the more that they push against people seeking truth, the more I think people will want to seek that truth. The more they hate on Bitcoin, the more they try to shut down Bitcoin, the more I think people will just have their radars wake up and be like, wait, like, how come my government hates Bitcoin so much? How come the media hates Bitcoin so much? Like, it's not hurting anyone, yet they will still try to frame it that it is actually hurting people. But it's kind of back to what Nico said. You know, we got the Twitter algos open source the other day. And I know, say what you want about Twitter, say what you want about Elon, but it does seem like Elon is a wild card and he is uncontrollable and he might actually care about free speech. Again, throw tomatoes all you want. But what we did see a couple weeks ago is the power that you guys have out there on social media, the likes, the retweets, the comments, the memes, everything really does make a difference. And we are shaping the narrative war right now. And this is the importance of showing your loved ones, your friends, the importance of Bitcoin, the importance of being that annoying Bitcoiner, never shutting up about Bitcoin, obviously at times having some tact. And, you know, not just badgering people over the head with the Bitcoin signal, because we do have the truth on our side. And I think it's really, I don't want to say it's just an education issue, because on the one hand, it is an education issue, but it's what we say here all the time. It's about winning the hearts and minds of the masses and planting a better idea on top of the corporate press idea. And we know what that idea is. It's Bitcoin is freedom, Bitcoin is hope, and you need to take your Bitcoin into self-custody so no one can tell you what you can't do with your money, because why are we being forced to use a money designed to steal from us? It's very simple, guys. Amen. It's very simple.
Del, what's your take on this, brother?
The thing about lies is that they're oftentimes delivered by people that have a smooth way of talking. Oftentimes the truth is blunt and in your face and it hits you like a punch, and it's not pleasant. Lies are oftentimes pleasant, and so they have the sticking power. The problem with a lie is one of my favorite lines of any movie or show ever comes at the, I think it's in the final episode of Chernobyl, that miniseries that was on HBO, and it says, it's something like, I'm not going to get exactly right, but something like, lies take a toll or put a debt on the universe that eventually must be paid. And all these lies that have been told over the years, all over the place, oh, a hate speech this, or the internet is as good as the fact, as good as a fax machine, just all this nonsense that people say, it's eventually going to take a toll. Some people might not live to see that toll come, but I think we're in an age where information being spread at a rate that is faster than ever that we've ever seen before, people will see how this plays out. And I think Bitcoin, as so many people have come to understand, and like I put in that clip, that one with John Wick's face on it, is that once you take that orange pill and you go down the monetary road of seeing how so many things are connected to money. I mean, money is the lifeblood of the world. And if you have cancerous, sick, lie-filled lifeblood, then it's not going to have all that... your life isn't going to be all that great. But if you have good, healthy blood flowing through your system, things are going to be a whole lot better. And so once you get on that Bitcoin standard and you start seeing things that through that lens, it wakes you up to so many other things. And it's really easy. Like just the other day, I did some work for somebody in the neighborhood. They needed some work done. I did it for them. And they're like, how can I pay you? And I said, pay me in Bitcoin. And they're like, I have no idea how to do that. I said, I walked them through it. And like within 10 minutes, they had gotten the right app. They had sent me some Bitcoin. They're like, wow, that was really easy. And that's all it was. I didn't talk to him about it. I didn't say anything. I'm like, yeah, you should get into it. I didn't try and orange pill him. I just wanted to be paid in Bitcoin. And now they know how simple that is. So in the future, if something else comes around, I'm like, maybe that Bitcoin thing.
Yep, exactly. Amen to that. All right, everybody. Wisdom. Let's get to the culture. Dell is dropping the sauce, man. Keep an eye for these Dell clips, baby. They're coming in hot. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, everybody. I also want to talk about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is the real Bitcoin. This is real Bitcoin, not ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, if you have any questions, doubts, concerns, you can always send me a message on Twitter. My DMs are always open and I'll be happy to answer them. Guys, I have to run. Dell and Opti, this is your show.
All right, this is fine now. Now the house burns in flames. No. All right, guys. So Nico kind of took the conversation over the New York Times and the Riot article into the direction of you out there having the power on social media and taking back the meme war. What do I say every single day, or almost every single day? It is our meme war and everyone else is just living in it because we have the truth on our side. We have the facts. And it's something I keep talking about on the show and in spaces that these people, the carbon hysterics, as you will see Saifedean call them, they don't care about the facts. It's all about an emotional plea to basically gaslight the average person out there that only has a few Bitcoin headlines to bounce off of. They still think, the majority of people still think that Bitcoin boils the oceans. You know, they don't really understand Bitcoin. They haven't put in the work yet, but it's only a matter of time until people wake up to the idea that Bitcoin is the superior way to store value. Anyways, let's get into the fallout of this Riot video, because not only is this just absolutely hilarious, but it also shows the importance of memetics. And we are in a memetic war. And you know me, I come from being a shit poster. I understand the power of the memetic warfare and that we really are in an information war for the hearts and minds of the masses out there. And again, what's the meme? The first thing lost in war is the truth. And so while I am going to cover in the basic facts of the matter, the truth of the situation, it's not about truth. It's about emotional pleas. It's about gaslighting people into thinking that Bitcoin mining is boiling the oceans. Anyways, again, we have the Riot video here, and I took a bunch of tweets of people freaking out, and then I got some Bitcoiners to talk about this, and we're going to bring some receipts, and we even got an article by PC Gamer, which is very ironic. It's a chef's kiss on the whole thing. Anyways, we got this comment here, and it goes, what, or WTF, is this a joke? I literally can't tell. The massive amounts of CO2 for which Bitcoin is responsible aren't emitted by the mining process. So who goes looking for CO2 in the facilities? They're emitted in the production of the electricity that powers the mining process. And again, Pierre Rochard just keeps dunking. He goes, that's the point. And we're doubling down. Some more people. You dummies, that is not what qualifies as zero carbon emission. Someone please explain to them how electricity works. And Pierre Rochard responds, either the CO2 molecules are being emitted or they are not. Okay, doubling down on the hate. This guy goes, holy shit, this might be one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. The chemical engineer in me is screaming. I can't even. This is why you can't have nice things, because then you make stupid videos like this. Okay, I'm done. And again, shouts out to Rory Highstead. He goes, the exact same guy says connecting electric vehicles to the grid magically solves the carbon emission of energies. And he goes, right here is a screenshot of him. We're decarbonizing transportation and energy by connecting electric vehicles to the grid. Anyways, more and more hate and getting lost in the satire that is Pierre's memes. He goes, this is not a joke. Riot truly believes that Bitcoin mining has zero carbon emissions based on the fact that the mining rigs themselves don't produce emissions. Somebody explain to them where the carbon emissions come from, please. Pierre Rochard, again, yes, explain where carbon emissions come from, please, because it's not from Bitcoin mining. And then we got this article from PC Gamer. Again, PC Gamer, people playing games on computers, you'd think they would like to know that computers do not emit carbon. Anyways, here's the title. Here's the headline. He goes, if you thought things couldn't get stupider, someone just held a CO2 reader up to a PC to prove Bitcoin mining has zero carbon emissions. So I'm not going to read the whole article because it's
It's hilarious, but I'm just going to pick some of the sentence here. It goes, Bitcoin mining company Riot recently shared a video claiming that its crypto mining operation has zero carbon emissions. And if you think that's ridiculous, wait until you see how it reached that conclusion. This is where I first started feeling confused. Surely the man in the helmet was not going to take his tester into the mining facility and hold it up to a bank of rigs to see how much carbon dioxide they're kicking out, because that would make no sense. It would barely even qualify as sane. Yet this is exactly what he does. This video is way too late for an April Fool's gag, but I can't shake the feeling that the video was posted unironically, not because Riot believes any of that nonsense, but because it wants to take advantage of viewers who don't know any better. Very interesting framing. Sooner or later, as this ridiculous nonsense gains increased attention, I expect Riot will release another statement saying the whole thing was just a joke, obviously, and that the press is either too stupid to get it or too humorless to appreciate it. My preemptive response, it's a joke, all right, but not the funny kind. Anyways, the author, Andy, has been gaming on PCs from the very beginning. Sounds like a lot of waste. Anyways, Pierre Rochard dunks on him as well. The author has been gaming on PC since the very beginning. This person has literally wasted a lot of electricity for real. And no one bats an eye. Hey, I don't know what has more value. Bitcoin, a monetary ledger that literally saves the world from getting robbed or playing on your PC. Anyways, we got some more tweets here, and it goes, Pierre, every time I hear the Bitcoin waste energy argument, I want to scream. So does PCs, especially gaming ones, laptops, refrigerators, freezers, electric stoves, microwaves, Xbox, PS5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How about this? We stop mining when they stop playing Xbox. Again, this is not about the facts. This is not about judging whether it's a good use of electricity to the people shitting on Bitcoin mining. It is about controlling us and making sure that we do not have an exit route. Anyways, again, we're continuing on the dunks because this is what you guys come here for. We got Linear Traffic goes, funny, this is coming from a PC gamer as gaming is much more of a wasteful drain on electricity. And Pierre goes, it's also perfect, but I really like Lyle Pratt's comment right here. He goes, we should have just called them Bitcoin gaming consoles for ASICs. Bro, I'm just playing the Bitcoin game with my machines. Millions of us play the Bitcoin game. Electricity for my Bitcoin gaming machine is no different than your game console. It's an MMO IRL game about sound money. It's all about framing, boys and girls. Anyways, again, continuing down. Phil Geiger goes, if proving that computers don't emit CO2 doesn't make PC gamers happy, then I honestly have no idea what will. Again, watching the world have a meltdown in regards to this video by Pierre, a very obvious troll and satirical video, but a very real point was being made. And it's this idea, Pierre, again, doubling down. He's doing the Lord's work on Twitter yesterday. And he goes, they can't stand the thought that their fictitious carbon accounting would be on the receiving end of a joke. It's too much for them to handle. And Preston Byrne goes, right. Also, it's not like there are more coal-fired plants in Texas as a result of your rigs just existing. It makes no difference. And Pierre responds, even if there were, the policy solution would be to tax real carbon emissions, not fake ones. Anyways, more and more and more people coming out. And obviously, hating on Bitcoin mining ASICs on the one hand for not emitting carbon CO2, and then on the other hand, framing this as an energy production problem. Well, hey, which one is it? Do ASICs pollute, or is it not the consumers of electricity that polluting? Anyways, we got this guy. He goes, oh my God, please, 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 please tell me this is a joke. If it isn't, I don't know what to say. You do know that the emissions of CO2 don't come from the computers, but from the coal and gas plants powering your facility. Again, we got a Bitcoiner pointing out the obvious hypocrisy here, and goes, so why are electric vehicles considered zero emissions? Again, this is the point, and this is when I will wrap this up and get the Bitcoiner takes on all this to make our point here. The response to these are hysterical. According to this people, it is obvious that Bitcoin miners themselves don't produce emissions, but perfectly sensible to ban Bitcoin mining for having too large an emission footprint. I would prefer they say what they want to say. Either A, the government gets to determine which buyers of grid energy are wasting energy and which aren't, or B, the government bans fossil fuels. At least get to the heart of the problem and stop spreading false information about Bitcoin mining. And we're doubling down. Once you admit that Bitcoin miners don't directly emit carbon, you must also admit one of two things. One, attacking miners for emission is pointless and you must go after producers instead, or you're a tyrant who wants to control what is good or bad use of electricity. And I think this is the crux of the conversation, because even if I bring you guys the receipts and I show you guys that Bitcoin mining, quote unquote, leaning into your framing, wastes less energy than gold production or aluminum smelting, it's hardly irrelevant to these people because the fact, or it's hardly relevant to these people because the facts of the matter prove them otherwise, and they just want an emotional ploy. So I have a few different charts here. I don't know which one's more up to date, but we have Bitcoin mining at 16.7 terawatts hash for global annual consumption of power compared to gold mining 132 terawatts hash or aluminum production 803 terawatt hashes. And then again, we have Bitcoin mining 62 terawatt hashes of energy consumption versus other innovations. We have data centers at 204. We have domestic refrigeration at 630. We have air conditioning and electric fans, 2000. We have marine transport, 3000 terawatt hash hours or terawatt watts per hash or hour. And then we have 4000 for aviation transportation. Again, this is not about the facts. And we're not here to even judge on the use of people's electricity, because you know me, I think using electricity is a good thing. Society should use more electricity. That means that we are prospering more. But it goes back to this tweet right here. The people that want to control your electricity use are tyrants who wants to control what is good or bad use of electricity. Anyways, we are doubling down on this, and I really love how Saifedean put this. When carbon hysterics rave about zero emission electric vehicles, they don't measure the CO2 at the electric vehicle plant, electricity plant, or the cobalt and lithium mines. But everything involved in Bitcoin has to count because they're shameless fiat shills. But Pierre ran the numbers, and again, in meme form. Cars charged by electricity, good. Sound money supercharged by electricity, bad. The optical illusion of public opinion. It's not about the facts. It's not about the truth. It's about what feels good, what feels right. And of course, you know me, I like memes. So here we go. We got an office meme. We got an electric vehicle on the left side. We have an ASIC on the right side. A zero emission electric miner. Corporate needs you to find the difference between this picture and this picture. There's no difference. They're the same picture, guys. If one is okay, why are you guys trying to control the other? We know what it is. It's about control. It has always been about control. They are terrified of the freedom technology that is Bitcoin. They want to continuously steal from you. They want to trap you in the fiat matrix. They want to trap you into the dollar. They want to push you into a CBDC system because they know what we know, at least those at the top, that Bitcoin is freedom. And this is kind of what Nico was saying, you know, what we do out here every single day, whether it's on our channel, whether it's other Bitcoin content in podcast form, on the Value for Value Economy on Twitter, whether it's just having these conversations with your friends and family, it is successfully reorging the narrative. So haters are now talking about how CO2 comes from power plants, not Bitcoin miners. This is so true. And this is the point of the conversation. These people have an issue with energy producers, not the consumers of Bitcoin, but this gets lost in translation because it doesn't really matter. They don't even care about this. They just want to stop you from using freedom money, whether they know this or not. And again, to wrap this up, because I think I did go a little long, we got Parker Lewis. He goes, this is not satire. Bitcoin mining on the grid is zero emissions, comparable to Tesla or AWS, powered by the grid. And most people don't know this because New York Times won't do investigative journalism simulations on Tesla or AWS. So I went and found some more relevant data. You have global data center electricity use in 2021. This might have gone up at 220 to 320 terawatt. Per hour. So guys, we're not here to justify our electricity use because as we continuously show on the channel, it's not about the facts. It's all about an emotional ploy. It's all about gaslighting the normal person out there to think that we are actually boiling the ocean. We are, you know, tearing up planet Earth, that we don't care about the planet, when in fact, if we bring the facts, we will show you guys continuously, whether you want to listen or not, that Bitcoin actually improves the energy grid, that Bitcoin mining is good for planet Earth, that Bitcoin is good for the energy grid. And furthermore, that using energy is good for society. The more energy we use, the more prosperous society gets. You are the carbon they want to eliminate. You can't convince me otherwise. This is not about the facts. This is about control, as because they know that they can't control Bitcoin. And so what can they do? They can try to control the narrative around Bitcoin, or as we show, the only thing they have is the monopoly on truth. But that is dwindling as we speak. And I think slowly but surely people are waking up And we are seeing that the Bitcoin price is responding. Anyways, rant over. Dell, what's your thoughts?
What you said there about energy, abundant energy, is exactly the point. And if people understood how abundant energy, so we got to look at a couple things. Why is an abundance of energy a good thing? If you have a lot of energy, the things that you can do with that energy means that you can do a lot of things. So if you have a source of energy that is, let's say, an unlimited source of power, imagine all the things you could do. You could power your cars, you could power your homes, you could power cities. So how close to unlimited energy can we get? Well, the answer to that is nuclear. It's the cleanest, safest option out there. It takes a very small footprint. You can have a massive plant that's generating an insane amount of energy in a very small area. Compare that to one of the most ecologically disastrous forms of energy production that is used and has been used throughout time: burning animal excrement. People burn cow patties and then tear down entire forests so that they can fuel their homes. What did we have just this past winter in the EU when they had that energy crisis because of all the energy that wasn't coming out of Russia? Well, you had people stripping down forests, selling firewoods at insane prices because they had to stay warm. What are people going to do? Oh, well, it's either me staying alive to see another day or and my children sleeping in a warm bed, or I guess we'll just die for the sake of the planet. People aren't going to do that. People are going to burn whatever they can to stay alive. So if you've got the option between burning forests down, polluting the air with horrible toxins, fueling, putting whatever is in the bark and the soil into your lungs, that's nowhere near as safe as having an energy source like nuclear. But people don't want that. They don't want to look at these things. I don't know how much cobalt is in an ASIC, but I'm willing to bet that it's way less than what's in a Tesla. You don't want to talk about that. People don't want to look at those mines. That heart-wrenching clip that Joe Rogan shared, I think it's about a month or two ago, where those kids, women and families, and just having like children strip mining these places to get the tiniest fractions of cobalt so that you can go and get a Tesla. People want to talk about that. If Teslas were made in a parking lot from a wizard, Gandalf just waving his wand and making them appear just out of pure magic, okay, maybe they would be more environmentally sound. But that's not how they're made. You have to go and create plants. You've got to get these batteries. You've got to do all this stuff to put the infrastructure in place to even make the dang cars. And then once that's in place, it's using the exact same energy. So if you want energy, if you want all these sources of energy, your trucks, your cars, your hospitals, all of these things powered, you should be looking at the most efficient form of energy production that there is, and that's nuclear. But people don't want to do that because there's been this whole attack. I mean, it's nonsense. And this whole attack on Pierre and his clearly satirical video is like going to Onion, finding an article on the Onion, be like, well, how dare this article say that whatever, I mean, pick some headline off Onion. It's like, how are you so blind? How can you be so dumb and not see what this is? Clearly, I mean, Pierre Richard isn't even serious. If you watch him in anything else, he's a pretty serious demeanor. He's coming across as tongue-in-cheek goofy in that video. Like, these people don't spend more than 3 seconds looking at something and then go, oh, let's make some headlines. This will make $5. Hey, day of work is done. Back to Taco Bell to get more diarrhea fuel.
Let's go. Yeah, it's obviously not about the truth. It's obviously an emotional plea. It's all about narrative. It is a PR war, guys. This is why I continuously tell you guys, we are in an information war. The first casualty in war is truth. And this is why the memes are so important. So let's get into the memes.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
KaboomRax. Even when Nico's not here, I got to do KaboomRax. All right, you already know. I've said it a few times already on this show. We are in an information war. It's never been clearer to me, and I hope it's becoming more clear to you guys as well, that it's all about a narrative. The truth gets lost in all of this. This is why we continuously tell you guys, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. I know people say that social media has no use, that your likes, your retweets, your comments mean nothing. But as we show consistently on the show, there is a real power of you guys organizing out there on Twitter, getting the message spread as far and wide, you know, putting truth in art, ridiculing the corporate press, and obviously orange pilling your friends and family with humor. So let's get into some of these memes. First one is by Pierre Rochard himself. And he actually, today's memes are all Pierre Rochard themed, so that's why I tagged Pierre. And anyways, the first meme is, the whole carbon accounting fraud got debunked with a $250 air quality monitor. That's all it took. And it's just a picture of the CO2 air quality monitor. Absolutely savage, and just love to see it. Anyways, this next meme is by Bitcoiner Death. And it's, again, Pierre Rochard. And this is just a screenshot from The Shining. I know you guys have all seen The Shining meme where Jack Nicholas's, Nicholson is axing the door. And I forget what her name is. She's screaming in the bathroom. But instead of Jack Nicholson doing the "Where's Johnny?", we have Pierre Rochard with the cowboy hat and the beard and laser eyes. And this next one, again, I am doubling, tripling down on Pierre Rochard's riot troll. And we got Eric Camp meme on Twitter, and it goes, it's a screenshot from the video. We got Pierre Rochard over here, and he goes, "And over here you'll find some of the second best crypto assets." And it's got Michael Saylor, "There is no second best."
There is no second best.
Okay, this next one is by the BTC Therapist. And absolutely love it. And this is why I brought it on the meme. And it's a perfect, perfect culmination of everything we said on today's show. And he goes, "Share this to spread the truth. Hashtag BTC." And we got a Wojak crying with the New York Times stamped on his forehead. And he goes, "I'm trying to smear Bitcoin." And we got the Chad Bitcoiner going, "You're pathetic. Your lies are pathetic. Your narrative is pathetic. And anyone that is anti-Bitcoin is anti-human. And you can't convince me otherwise. Bitcoin, even if we had to justify our energy use, is better than the alternative. Bitcoin will improve humanity. And you can't convince me otherwise, and you can't convince all the other Bitcoiners out there, as you can tell, because the free market has freely chosen Bitcoin, and we are currently above 30K on the free market." Anyways, this next one, this one is by @stacking_sats_ on Twitter. And it's more Pierre. And we got a pink crying Wojak, and it says, "Fiat shills. No, you can't just start using our tactics to debunk our FUD. Re." And we got the Leonardo DiCaprio from Django with the bourbon or whatever, the liquor, to smiling, and it's Pierre Rochard's head on top and says, "Watch me work, bitch." Love it. Okay, and this last one, I said it already on the show, but hey, we're putting it in meme form as well. We got Greg Zaj one on Twitter, and this is the classic Simpsons meme, and it goes, "Don't make me tap the sign." And he taps the sign, and what's the sign say? "You are the carbon they want to reduce." This is uncontentious at this point. If you don't know, now you know. Anyways, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live. Anyways, I'm back to 99 signs. You might be a Bitcoin maxi book, and I'm just going to get a random page. This is sign 71. "You've bought the all-time high because you still understand how cheap Bitcoin is. Spending $20 at the grocery store, spent any sad, and he's sad. Spending $20 on Bitcoin, and he's happy. As my friend Weinikis always says, I buy local tops because they're historical timestamps." I hope you guys do too. Anyways, Dale, what's your meme review score?
My meme review score is a measuring tape, because just like Bitcoin, it never changes as long as we're living in a world of truth.
Oh, bars. Absolute. Absolute bars. All right, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat as we shout out Represent. We wear it every single day. I think before we go on, shouts out to everyone that bought the Simply Bitcoin theme merch. Shouts out to everyone that got the Bitcoin theme merch on representltd.com. It is all sold out. As Nico told you guys yesterday, we are in talks with the boys over at Represent. Hopefully we get some new merch ideas out for you guys. Maybe we'll get a little more so that everyone can get it. And there will be some women-friendly designs as well. But I'm wearing the dad hat. I got the classic Represent. Go to representltd.com and use the promo code SimplyBitcoin to, I think it's 10%, to get 10% off all the designs. Anyways, let's get to some of these meme review scores. Hopefully this time I don't cut them off. So let me see if I got some in here. Okay, we got one. Oh man. Okay, Dale. First one, the P-Man Van. "I give these memes a diarrhea fuel buffet." Oh man. Okay, next one, Elaine. score, climate emergency FUD realized by all Bitcoiners and soon the general public. CO2 is life. Let's go. Did you guys see the I think it was Giacomo. He says, breaking news, or I'm obviously paraphrasing, breaking news, Bitcoin ASICs do not give plant food. CO2 is just plant food. Okay, this next meme, our meme review goes, Rave Elevator, I give the memes 1 year left for solving a solo Bitcoin block for 6.5 BTCs. Let's go. Wow, we got a solid grade over here. I give the memes a B-. Okay, we're back to grades. This next one by Nigel, he goes, I give those memes a pint of New York Times journalist tears. Let's go. Okay, I'm gonna read a few more. Narwhal Tacos goes, I give these memes all my Christmas lights that in no way boil the oceans like Bitcoin miners do. Absolutely epic. Okay, let's see. Let's hear. wait, can I say this one? I don't know. I'm sorry, bro. I don't know. That one's a bit iffy. Okay, let's do this one, and then we're going to actually, one more. Okay, BTC Sovereign Pleb, I give these memes 10 Taco Bell burritos. And then the last one, I'm not reading this, so I do almost read everything. We got Bitcoin Chief Carbon Officer score, environmentalist crying louder than 69 decibels above the sound of my mining rig burring. Let's go. All right, guys. Shouts out to all you guys. Really appreciate all the support. Of course, we are on the Value for Value economy. If you want to check us out in audio form, we are on Anchor, we are on Spotify, we're on Apple, and of course, we're on Fountain. I will read your guys' comments on Friday. Appreciate all the sats you guys stream us. Thank you for all the clips. Again, it's not just about spreading Simply Bitcoin. It's about spreading all the Bitcoin content because the world still doesn't know that we have the solution. So get the signal out there. Make sure you put your hat in the ring, create the content, create the memes, wake up your friends and family, because as you can tell, there is a $1 trillion PSYOP campaign against the truth, against people escaping the fiat matrix, fiat slavery, and getting into Bitcoin. And this is what we're here to do, guys, is to continuously spread the signal to not only entertain you, but also hopefully educate you guys and show you guys the hypocrisy that comes out from the corporate press. Anyways, guys, you already know we will be back tomorrow, same time as always, 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube. And I will be on Spaces tomorrow as well. Anyways, peace out, guys. And we do have an IRL tonight. Also, go check out everything else on YouTube. We are dropping that hot fire. All right, guys, peace out.